Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and today is a day. Today is the day for you. Today is the day that God has set aside for you, my brother, you, my sister, to listen to a word from Him, a rhema word from Him, a word that will be imparted into your heart, that you would grab a hold of it and be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has taught you and led you to do this day. Today is the day. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the broadcast. And as you already know, I hope that you do, especially those who have been following with us in this wonderful teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. And that is what God's word is to do in and through us, is to disciple us. He is our umbrella, and it is to disciple us that we will grow and go in grace. This is what He wants every believer in Christ Jesus to do. This is what He has for the body of Christ, for it to grow and go in grace. But in order for us to come to that, we have to understand and be in relationship with Him, that the Holy Spirit would guide us, shape us, mold us, feed us, lead us. And I always like to put it this way: walk where He leads, and that's capital H-E, walk where He leads, and eat where He feeds. Now, He's our great shepherd. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. Walk where He leads and eat where He feeds. So think about that. Allow that to resonate in your mind and in your heart through His word would lead you, feed you, guide you, hold you, comfort you, replenish you, fulfill you, revive you. Amen. Amen and amen. So again, welcome to Mission from the Heart Radio. And we are, meaning myself and Minister Harold Copeland, are still in and focusing on the very nature of God. So we are going to just continue. So I encourage you to get your Bibles ready or your device, whatever you use in order to search the scriptures, and paper and pencil so that you can make notes of what is being released through the Word of God to you. So we just encourage you to come hungry to the banquet table of God, that you will again grow and go in God's grace. So I'm going to hand the mic to Minister Harold Copeland so that he can continue to walk with us, or we walk with him through the scriptures in this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. And our focal point is the very nature of God. Minister Copeland.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hello again, everybody. Welcome. God bless you. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio together again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. Want you to know that it's always an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart that will take you to your divine destiny. And you too shall stand and proclaim the truth of the Word of God concerning your life. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And we are continuing our focus point, the very nature of God. We're going to go ahead and dive right into the teaching. And as you know, we always like to start out with our lunch pad scripture. And our lunch pad scripture comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 all the way through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16. And it reads this way. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. And our foundational scripture for this teaching comes out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 3, starting with verse 16, all the way through verse 21. And what we've been showing in this teaching, we have been revealing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have showed, we have revealed through Scripture that the very nature of God is love, the agape, the unconditional love of God. And we showed that the same loving God, unconditional loving God that we have in our covenant, New Testament covenant, he was the same in the Old Testament. And we revealed that even after the fall of Adam, when God put him out of the garden, God went with him. God's presence went with him, and he still fellowship. God still fellowship with Adam when Adam was outside of the garden. And he also fellowship with their children, Cain and Abel. And we revealed that even after Cain killed his brother, God still walked and talked in fellowship with Cain. And we're getting ready to close the old covenant relationship with God, and we're going to step over to the new covenant. But we're going to show how God continued to love Cain even after the murder of his brother. Now, God did show disapproval of Cain killing Abel, and he let Cain know that there were some consequences, and he told him what the consequences were. So we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. We're going to read verses 11 and 12.
Genesis 4, 11 and 12. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you, a fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth.
And Cain became fearful. And Cain said unto God, I'm going to be a vagabond, wandering throughout the earth, and anybody who finds me is going to try to kill me. And look what God did. Instead of bringing judgment on the very first murderer on the face of the earth, God put a mark upon Cain and protected him. That's not a harsh treatment, God. That's the same God that we serve, the God of the agape, the God, unconditional love of God. Don't love us because of, but he loves us in spite of. And let's read that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15.
And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him.
Now, I don't know about you, but that is contrary to the religious teaching that I received in my days growing up in the church. God did not approve of the murder, protected the first murderer. And the point we want to make before we go to the New Testament covenant relationship is Cain was before Moses received the law. So Cain murdered, but Moses haven't been given the law. So God wasn't imputing man's sins against him when Cain killed his brother. But let's look at what happened after Moses received the law. Let us go to the book of Numbers. Numbers, chapter number 15, Numbers chapter number 15, starting with verse 32 through 35.
Numbers 15:32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp."
Amen. Now, God protected the first murderer. Then, in contrast, after the law was given, a man went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. God commanded the man to be stoned to death. God protected Cain, who murdered a man. But he commanded Moses to stone to death someone who only picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. And that does look kind of inconsistent. It looks like the man that picked up the sticks on the Sabbath day got the wrong end of the deal. But the reason it looked that way is because until the law, that means until Moses received the law, God was not holding man's sins against him. He was overlooking, not imputing sin in regards to man's fellowship with him. That's the New Testament. Excuse me. That's the Old Testament covenant relationship with God. He was the same unconditional love of God that he is today. For the Word of God tells us that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And now we're going to step and to the New Testament covenant relationship that we have with this unconditional love of God. And in this relationship that we have, we receive an abundant life. And it's an abundant life in our spirit. What really happened is Lord Jesus Christ come lives on the inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he always keeps us in a relationship with the Father. Lord Jesus Christ is the only difference between the old covenant relationship with God and the new covenant relationship with God. But it's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of mercy. And it's a covenant wrapped with a ribbon of love established by the precious shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all I can say is, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you praise because you are worthy to be praised. As we step into the new covenant, we understand the gift that God gave us, and it was at the right time. It was at the fullness of time. Our Jesus did come. Our Jesus did become a man, and he lived a perfect, sinless life. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be whipped. He allowed himself to be crucified. He became our sin. He took all of our sins upon himself. They call it the great exchange. And I haven't seen one greater than that. And it just wasn't the sin that we had before we got saved. It was the sins of yesterday, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow, the sins of forever, all of our sins. He took upon himself, and he died for us on the cross. But then on that third day, there was a great resurrection from the grave, and the relationship with God have not been the same. Let us go to the book of Romans. Very familiar passage of scripture. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10.
Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Jesus established a new covenant relationship with us in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus took our sins and gave us his righteousness, and now we can have an eternal relationship with God the Father, because God the Father do not have to deal with sin any longer. Sin has already been destroyed, taken care of entirely by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now men, women, and children, we can have peace with God, because God is not mad at us. We can know God, and that's that knowing in our hearts, that knowing in our knower, that intimate relationship. And I like to say, a hands-on, day by day, moment by moment, personal, intimate relationship with God the Father through Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest thing, the greatest gift we get, if we get a transformation of our human heart, we get a heart just like God, a heart, a spirit, and the very person of Jesus Christ comes and take his abode in our hearts. Hallelujah. We are new creatures. We are new creations. The Old Testament covenant weren't able to have this relationship that we have. because they wasn't able to be in Christ by the Spirit, to be one with Christ by the Spirit, and to be able to connect to the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Let us go to another familiar scripture. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. Verses 17 and 18.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen. When we were saved, we became a brand new creature. Our spirits on the inside was changed. This scripture is not talking about our physical bodies becoming new. When we got saved, our physical bodies didn't become new. If we was tall, if we were short, if we was overweight, we're still going to be the same. Our body and all of our physical features didn't change. They did not become different. Our mind did not change either. Our spirits is the part of us that will change. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 36. Ezekiel chapter number 36, and we want to read verse 26.
Ezekiel 36, and it reads this way. Verse 26. I heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Amen. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. We're traveling all over the Bible today. The book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter number 4. We're going to read another beautiful, wonderful scripture, verse 24.
And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
That's the beauty of the covenant that we have with this God. That's the beauty of the testament that we have with this unconditional love of God. Let's read another scripture. The book of 2 Corinthians. The 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Beautiful scripture. Verse 21.
verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen. And if you are saved, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're saved, we walk by the Spirit, and we do not walk by the flesh. And you know what the flesh includes? Our own carnal mind. We don't walk according to our own mind, our own thoughts, our own emotions. We don't walk in the soulless realm, and we don't walk according to the feelings of this physical body. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we just live in a body. We are a brand new spirit. Our spirit has come alive. We're no longer dead in trespasses and sin. And God knows us by our born-again spirit that he saved. God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God from our carnal mind. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means enemy. It cannot receive the word of God, and it will never be able to receive the word of God. Our spirit man is righteous and truly holy. Our spirit man is full of the Holy Ghost. We are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost in our spirit. In our spirit man, we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of us. And through that power, he has quickened us, and he has made us alive. That relationship that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, when he was put out of the garden and he died, he didn't die physically. He died spiritually. He died a spiritual death. He lost that breath of life that God blew into his nostril. But when we were brought in by the Holy Ghost and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in our heart that God raised our Jesus from the dead, and we became saved, that same breath of life that Adam lost, God blew that breath right back in our spirit man. And by the Spirit, that same spiritual relationship that Adam had with God, we got it back. We got it back through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And through him, we can walk with God through the in the cool of the day. We can talk with God 24 hours a day. We can have that ongoing personal relationship with him, spirit to spirit, heart to heart, power to power. And it's the greatest relationship that anyone can have in the earth realm. And I tell you what, if you is under the sound of our voice and you haven't had the opportunity, I tell you, this is the greatest day of your life, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to work through Minister Smith, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to draw you into this Jesus and open up the door of salvation so you can have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. You can have the opportunity to have this ongoing relationship with God and never be separated from him again. It's time for me to stop. It's time for me to drop. It's time for me to pray. Time for me to turn this microphone over to Minister Smith, that she can take us to the cross.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this is a wonderful time. The word going out, going forth, falling on fertile ears, into fertile ground, that the ground germinate and produce what God has for you as well as for me and Minister Copeland. We are the body of Christ. We are in the household of faith, and this is an opportunity for you to become a member of the household of faith. And we do not want to just assume that every listener to this broadcast is a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. So we enjoy extending Christ to you by way of salvation, that you have an opportunity to confess that you are a Christ follower, that you can have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ, that you would have an opportunity to know that you know that you know that you are saved and you are heaven bound in the name of Jesus. So this is a moment that we take serious just as much as the word of God being exposed and expounded on. We take this opportunity very, very seriously. And you should too. This is not a time for us to horse around or play around with our emotions or saying to ourselves in our mind, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, or maybe I'll get to that tomorrow, or let me just listen to the word of God and I'll accept Jesus as my Savior in the morning or later tonight. Tomorrow is not promised to us. And some tomorrows can be later in the day. So while you have gotten an opportunity, while God set aside this day for you to listen to Mission from the Heart, it was not by chance. It was not by chance, my brother, my sister. This is orchestrated by God himself for you to listen to the broadcast, that you would come into the household of faith, the ark of salvation. And so this is a time for us to stop what we're doing, drop to our knees, and pray a prayer of salvation, that we would pray with you, walk alongside you as you extend your hands, give your heart to Jesus. This is what he wants you to do on this day. We read in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Now I want to read verse 13. And it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, keep in mind that we are saved based on the condition of our heart. If the heart is half-hearted and not wholehearted, then you're fooling nobody but yourself. But when you come to the feet of Jesus with a whole heart, as humble as you know how, he sees the condition of our heart. It would be to your best interest, my brother and my sister, not to be faking and shaking and shucking and jiving around with your mind and your emotions, procrastinating and putting things off until tomorrow. No, scripture says, choose whom you will serve this day. And he has set it aside for you. And again, according to Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is what Brother Harold and I want you to do right now, is that you stop what you're doing, lay your tablet or your device down, lay your pencils down from your note-taking, and let's bow down to Jesus Christ and make your petition known to him and accept him with a whole heart. It's the condition with a whole heart that you will be in the ark of salvation. So let's pray. Simple prayer that you come ready. Now, my brothers and sisters who are listening, who may be lifting up a spouse, may be lifting up a wayward child, may be lifting up a special friend in your circle of influence, maybe on the job, somebody that the Lord has laid heavy on your heart to intercede for, we encourage you to do the same thing. Pray for them that the Lord will move in their heart one day. But don't give up praying. So whisper their name as we pray with those who are listening right now, as we partner together for others to come to know him. So let's pray. Now, my words, remember, God knows your heart. So set your heart on him as we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, I come to you the best I know how. I have nothing to bring but the condition of my heart. I know and I've heard, Lord, that you are a mind regulator. You are a heart regulator, and you are a soul transformer. Lord, I surrender with lifted hands that you transform me on the inside out. Lord, here I am. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know that he hung, bled, and died for me. I know that by your amazing grace, and I believe by faith that you have saved me. I wholeheartedly believe this, Lord God. And I am one who does not deserve anything from you. You know my past, you know my now, and you know my future. Lord, I surrender it all to you. I anchor my heart in you and you alone. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, a day of rejoicing, a day of rejoicing in heaven, and a day of rejoicing right now. Brother Harold and I are super excited, my brother, my sister, that you have given your heart to Christ Jesus, and we always encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, letting others know that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made for you to come to know him. And what a joy it is. So we also want to encourage you to seek out a small group study within that church, a Sunday school class or a discipleship class that you will continue to grow and go in grace and know that you are. Hallelujah. So I'm going to turn it back over to Minister Copeland as he welcomes you into the household of faith as well. Minister Copeland?
Yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the body of believers. You're a believer now. You've been marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been anointed to make a difference in the earth realm. And we know that the earth realm is going against the will of God. But now God got you in his army to help you destroy the evil and the darkness of the enemy. You're my brother. You're my sister. And we're part of the divine family of God. We are new spirits. We are righteous and we are truly holy. There is no sin in our spirit, man. Amen. And we have to learn how to renew our minds, to tell our mind what's going on in the spirit, because our minds don't know. God didn't save our minds. Our bodies don't know either. God didn't save our bodies. But it's up to us, as we keep fellowshipping, as we keep reading the word, as we get in that church, as we get in that Bible study, it's up to us to renew our minds by the word of God. Our minds don't talk to us. We tell our minds what's going on. We got a brand new spirit, righteous and holy. No darkness in it whatsoever. Jesus became sin for us so that we might be made his righteousness. We did not get a little bit of righteousness. We did not just get enough righteousness to make it through the day until we go and probably mess up tomorrow. Even if we mess up tomorrow, we're still righteous spirits that God relate to. And we can't let our minds condemn us if we mess up. Romans 8 tell us, 8:1 tell us, there is therefore now no condemnation. It's a miracle. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, powerful. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And I'm here to tell you, no matter what lie the devil try to come up with, I tell you the truth, because Jesus said you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. You are free. You are free at last. And we thank God that you are free. We have the total righteousness of God in our spirit. This is beautiful. It's a mystery. He said a mystery of the gospel. That's why he tells us you can't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, we have to acknowledge him by our spirit, man. The beauty of our spirit. He don't call us beautiful and wonderfully made because of our minds and our bodies. No, we're beautiful and wonderfully made because of the life he has placed in our spirit, man. God don't call us the apple of his eye because of our thoughts or because of our feelings or emotions. No, he called us the apple of his eye because of the miracle that he has placed in our spirits. And this spirit that we have, that you just received, we're not going to get a new spirit when we get to heaven. We'll probably get a new body. We're going to get a new glorified body. And the Bible says our minds will be renewed and that we will know all things. But our spirit within us, right this moment, contains the Holy Spirit, who lives in our hearts. It's beautiful. Beautiful. There isn't a greater covenant relationship that we can have with anybody else. But once this relationship is established, all of our relationships will rise up to another level. All of our relationship will be glorified. Let's go to the book of 1 John, a beautiful scripture. Beautiful. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter number 4, verse 17.
First John 4, 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen. As he is. Talking about Jesus. So I can place Jesus, the name of Jesus in there. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. He didn't say when we go to heaven. He said we are as Jesus is right now in this world. But that's in our spirits. That's why we have to learn how to walk in the spirit. It's not in our minds, in our souls, in our physical body. And it doesn't say we're going to be like Jesus. It says right now, the scriptures say right now. And as I said, obvious, this is not speaking of our bodies or our mind, but our spirits. Christianity is spiritual. Christianity is spirituality. Our spirits are pure, holy, righteous and clean as they'll ever be. And this verse is saying our spirits are ounce to ounce, molecule to molecule, identical to Lord Jesus Christ's spirit. Spirits are totally his workmanship. They're clean and pure. And if we sin, our spirits are never contaminated, because it's not our spirits that sin. As Christians, when we sin, if we sin, we only sin in our souls, through our minds, and through our physical body. Our spirits never sin after salvation. And let me clarify that with one last scripture before we close. That's the book of 1 John, chapter number 3, verse 9.
Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God.
Amen. It can't get any clearer than that. Spirits is born of God. Our spirit do not commit sin. The seed of God, which is his spirit, on the inside of our spirits, the two spirits have become one. And we cannot sin because of that supernatural power of God's spirit living on the inside of us. Because in our spirit, man, we are born of God. We're going to have to go one more week with this teaching, because I want to go a little deeper with the new covenant relationship that we have established with the very nature of God, the agape, the unconditional loving Father. God bless you. I love you, and thank you. Minister Smith?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ms. Copeland, for just revealing the beautiful nuggets that we need to enrich our soul, that we need to just kind of wallow in, if you will, throughout the day, for the rest of the day, as we can just hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to know and come to an understanding of. So grateful for the insights of God's word and the revelations of his word. Always keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, that the word of God, it is going to be here. It is going to be here. It's here to stay. And we have nothing but time to just relish the word, bask in it, just hold strong to it, that it would come out of us. That is the purpose of God's word, is to get it in us, that we can proclaim it, live it out before others in a dark world. And as you meet with us, Minister Copeland and I, on a weekly basis, this word of God, we will be built up by it, that we can proclaim it to those who are needing a Savior. Now, this is the work of the body of Christ, that we go into the vineyard and release the word of God in the heart of a wicked world. So we just encourage you to continue in the faith and allow it to be your anchor in places that need light. And we are his light. So always be here with us as we continue to go through this wonderful series. And I hope it's a blessing for you, because it is to me. Just as I read through the scriptures and as I listen to Minister Copeland go through the scriptures and teach us and show us the light of God, it is a joy. And we pray that it is for you too. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away season after season, but the word of God, it stands strong. It will be strong in you and me and Minister Copeland and so many others across the world. It is going to remain forever and ever. So we pray that you seek that church out and enjoy services within this week and share the word of God with somebody. Don't hold it for yourself. Don't do that, but share it with somebody who needs to hear from the Lord. You are his mouthpiece. So allow God to use you in a mighty way. God bless you and remain in the faith.